I'm a mental patient.
I'm Dr. Mike, host of Going There.
A lot of us are mental patients. It's just a lot different now.
And we're back.
I love seeing artists being vulnerable because then I can be like, oh, this is something that actually happens.
Going There fosters a supportive dialogue about mental health issues by having raw and authentic conversations with your favorite musicians, including Noah Kahan, Vic Menza, Lizzie Hale, Jason Isbell, Jewel, Bartiz Strange, Muna, The Lumineers, Faye Webster, and Youngblood.
I know that if you write something down, be like, hello, my name is this, I struggle with this, I bet you people respond to you.
So let's get going on Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Bum, 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 bum,
bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum. Oh, hello there. Why, my name is Lisa Linke, and I am one half of your podcast host slash creator slash friends here in the land of Go Help Yourself, a comedy self-help podcast to make life suck less.
From the Midwest.
I'm also from Minnesota. Just kidding. I am from the Midwest, but not from Minnesota. And the voice you just heard, that lovely resonant Floridian accent,
kind of
voice.
Unhinged Floridian. How dare you,
Misty Stinnett?
That's me.
And if you're new here, welcome. We're really glad that you popped on.
Thank you. And who are you?
I said I'm Lisa Linke, didn't I?
Can I tell you something? Yeah. It's been a long day.
I know, it really has.
Anybody else? Dramatic pause.
That's it. Oh, anybody else? I see you. Okay. Oh. Got it. Guys, we've never been better. Almost 300 episodes and we're crushing
Buckle in.
If you're new here, welcome. We invite you to enjoy our healthy back catalog of book reviews and articles and trivia and thought-provoking questions and spontaneously bursting into tears from time to time. That's all available to you. And if you're a longtime loyal listener or a selfie or a tiny pocket friend, we are just so happy to be back with you. It makes us really joyful, thanks, I have to say.
Thanks for bringing back the tiny pocket friend, because I don't know how we lost that. Oh, I do. We took a 2-year break. So tiny pocket friend, it started because we were like, we're
always in your pocket. Yeah.
We're just your tiny pocket friends. And we still have a merch website somewhere floating out on the internet where you can purchase a tiny pocket friend t-shirt, of which we will get 30 cents of the sale.
I feel like I need to make a new tiny pocket friend, which is a shirt without a pocket on the front, but the pocket is drawn on, and then we are there like caricatures, just kind of like waving out of your front pocket.
Oh, 100%. If any of you listening can design that and then email it to us at gohelpyourselfpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you.
Misty, today you have something to present that I don't know what it is.
A sweet, fun little topic that I came across while reading the New York Times, brag, and I thought it would make a great episode because, okay, something that we've touched on throughout the podcast is setting boundaries and like taking care of yourself, and kind of, we even have those holiday episodes about how to deal with your family at the holidays and take breaks, etc.
That's correct.
But what happens when you have a toxic person in your life that you have to interact with? Like, say
your
it's a coworker,
your podcast co-creator.
What's fired? Speaking of fired, Lisa's now looking for work. Okay, so
This sounds great. And I'll be the judge of whether or not it's a cute little topic. Okay, so I'll check in at the end.
I wish you guys could see Lisa's micro and blatant expressions. Cute little topic.
All right. Bring it on, mama.
Okay. This is, we have lost it. We haven't even gotten into the article yet. This is from the New York Times.
Brag.
And also, I did not go to Harvard. So okay,
thank you. I also did not go to Harvard.
That's right. It's called Florida State School.
Wait, so, did we talk about how I have to interject? You know Kyle Prue on TikTok and Instagram? He's so funny. He's the one that does things to say to piss off men. The whole series, he's hilarious. No. But he has a new one where
if you wear a Harvard shirt, wear a Harvard sweatshirt, wear a Harvard swag, especially if you didn't go. And then when a guy comes up and says, oh, did you go to Harvard? You can say, yeah, I'm a Hufflepuff, and pretend that you think it's Hogwarts.
Hilarious.
He says they will lose their mind.
I like, there was one point in my high achieving early years in my 20s where I was like, I just really want that Harvard sweatshirt. Like, can I take like a... can I take like a seminar? Can I go visit a friend? What has society done to us?
Who was the person that I knew or have met, or it was on TV, where they took an online class while they were sitting in the quad of Harvard? So they say they got their master's in Harvard.
It sounds like it's a joke from a sitcom.
It's so smart.
Very good. All right. So you can find me in Boston for the next 2 years outside. Okay. So this is written by Christina Carone, or maybe Christina Karen, from the New York Times. It's called How to Gray Rock Conversations with Difficult People.
Okay.
Have you heard of this concept of gray rocking?
No, but it sounds like taking a huge boulder and bashing somebody over the head with it.
Ooh, close.
Okay.
Okay. Some say that becoming as dull as a rock is an effective way to disengage.
Randy lay there like a slug. It was his only defense. Oh. Some of you know what that is, and Misty doesn't, because she doesn't know snow and Christmas, and that's fine.
Okay. It's not my fault I was born in Florida and now live in California.
Florida
is one hell of a dream. Okay. Also, you never have to shovel sunshine out of your driveway. Okay, here we go. You guys, if she's going to fire, I'm going to fire back.
It's getting fire.
Have you turned off the episode yet?
Okay. Here we go.
It's like this
gray rock
for us.
Gray rock me, baby.
Christina's going to take us through this.
Okay.
Take a moment to imagine a small gray rock sitting in the palm of your hand. It's silent, smooth, and otherwise unremarkable. Are you bored yet?
Yeah.
If so, that's kind of the point. Most people will eventually lose interest in a dull piece of granite. So there's a theory percolating online that if you adopt the qualities of a stone, becoming impassive and bland, then you will repel the argumentative, antagonistic people in your life who are itching for conflict.
Oh boy.
It's called the gray rock method, and over the last decade, it has spread on social media, including among TikTok influencers who have shared strategies to channel your inner rock.
I've never seen this, and you know I spend an inordinate amount of time on TikTok.
Lisa got her master's in TikTok at Harvard.
I did.
It even surfaced on a recent episode of the reality show Vanderpump Rules when a cast member, Ariana Maddox, said that using the technique had helped her avoid toxic interactions with her ex-boyfriend, Tom Sandoval, who had been unfaithful. The goal of the gray rock technique is to disengage without ending contact, said Ramani Durvasula, a clinical psychologist and the author of It's Not You, Identifying and Healing from Narcissistic People. People who gray rock remain neutral, keep their interactions trim and slim, and avoid sharing information that could potentially be turned against them, she added. But while some psychologists say that the method is helpful under certain circumstances, it isn't always the right solution.
Yeah, no duh. It sounds like I don't want to go through the effort of setting a boundary, so I will just remain like a slug here.
These are for people you have to still be in contact with. At least that's how I am presenting it on the episode. It's like, who's that? Like, maybe it's your manager at work. You know, maybe it's a coworker.
You can still set boundaries at work.
Yeah, that's true. But if they're truly toxic, it's tough.
It is tough. But for me, trying to pretend to be at Gray Rock would be tough.
Honestly, I would just gamify it. I think it would be so much more fun than like...
Have you been doing that to me?
Maybe.
All right. Well, let's just have two Gray Rocks hosting this podcast. Why don't you continue with the article?
Sure.
Great. I couldn't even look
this
at her.
This is me, Gray Rock. I know, because my facial expressions are so bland. Okay. How does gray rocking work? Mm-hmm. There isn't an official set of rules for gray rocking. The method has not been studied, nor is it derived from an evidence-based psychological practice.
No, duh.
But it is in the New York Times, so let's go. But in general, you can think of gray rocking as a form of emotional disengagement, Dr. Durvasula said. Thank you. Antagonistic people are usually looking for a fight, she added, and gray rocking can be one way to keep the peace and avoid getting into the mud with them. It is especially effective in written communication, like texting, as a way of avoiding long, meandering messages, she said. The strategy can also be useful at work, she added, where concise communication is often valued. Many variations on gray rocking exist. One communication coach on TikTok demonstrated various ways to avoid being overly icy or awkward, a process she calls soft gray rocking.
No, this is horrible.
For example, she said, if someone asks you how a job search is going, instead of explaining how hard it has been, you can talk about the different networking events you've attended. Sometimes, despite your best efforts, conversations can become heated. If the person with whom you're interacting remains disrespectful, dishonest, or manipulative, then you may be better off severing contact, Dr. Jervasula said. But not everybody can do that immediately, especially if the relationship involves a close family member or a spouse. Oh my God, if you have to gray rock your spouse.
Misty, ask me how my job search has been going.
How's your job search been going?
Oh, it's been great. Thank you so much for asking. I have to go.
You bitch.
I was polite.
Oh, you really have to leave right now? But I didn't even get to share with you my stuff. I guess you're just self-centered.
Yep, you'll have to tell me later. Thanks so much.
Ask me how my job search is going.
Ask me how much life gray rocking is going to take off of my life. How many years gray rocking is going to take off my life.
See, I'm coming at it totally differently. I'm like, oh, this will be fun. Great. To see how quickly I can get someone
how's
to disengage.
How's your job search going?
Good.
Okay, now, see, it's so anti you. It's immediately a bit. Then I would go, great.
I've been studying these product development questions, and one of the biggest ones is about market research, and some of the key points of market research are that you should get to know your audience, you should keep your question short, and you should never lead the answerer in the question. So could I show you my 15-page survey I recently wrote?
The thing is, at work, that makes you so unpromotable.
Yeah, but let's imagine it's just like your coworker and not your...
Great. Keep going.
Okay.
Gray rock it out.
Here we go. Tina Swithin, the founder of One Mom's Battle, a website and online community for people who are divorcing someone with narcissistic tendencies, that's awful. Not the community, the situation, recommends the yellow rock technique, particularly when co-parenting. Unlike the gray rock, which is cool to the touch and a bit aloof, the yellow rock has an air of friendliness, she wrote in her guide for parents navigating the family court system. According to Ms. Swithin, a person using the yellow rock technique might say, "Well, I do not agree with you. You have every right to feel the way you do." Or, "I'm hoping we can both take time away from this topic to regroup as we are not going in a positive or productive direction. Let's revisit this next week." So where did the topic come from? Also, I just want to pause and say, this is all catering to the comfort of the person. Mm-hmm. Like, I think what you're saying by setting boundaries is like, don't be codependent. Just be like, nope, this is not welcome in my space. Bye-bye. And this is like, how do I change my approach to like not upset them or cause ire?
Yes. Ultimately, you're still bearing the brunt of that. I mean,
yeah.
If the goal is to not have any interaction, you still have to gray rock and not be authentic. Like it's not, I think what's bristling for me is the inauthenticity of it.
It's totally inauthentic, but as a self-protective mechanism. It's really slippery because it's like no one can say, "Oh, Lisa's giving me the cold shoulder." It's like, "Nope, you're interacting."
I mean, but if you know me and my personality is a live action Muppet and then you enter the chat and I'm suddenly Dr. Bunsen Honeydew, like it is obvious that you are gray rocking somebody. And it's hard not to if I were getting gray rocked, it would make me antagonistic to be like, "Oh, I'm going to make you go spew hot lava out of this gray rock," right? Like, I would be like, challenge accepted.
If you ever gray rocked me, I would just move out. I wouldn't even have a conversation. I would just pack my boxes and go.
And roll on out.
Goodbye.
Love it.
Okay.
But I hear what you're saying about an individual's comfort.
Yeah.
I guess
yeah.
it's just like long-term pain versus short-term. Oh my God. Discomfort.
And like to their point, it's like if you are co-parenting with someone who is actually a narcissist, mm-hmm. oh good God, do you have to tread in specific ways mm-hmm. to protect yourself? So mm-hmm. that's on another episode. So where did the concept come from? Well, Dr. Dervasula counsels clients in her private practice on how best to use the technique and has even given away gray.
No. She gave away gray rocks for people to hold on to.
I'm sorry. I'm losing it.
Is that what she did?
And has even given away gray rocks as gifts during book signings. She's an author. She can do what she wants, Lisa. She didn't learn about the method in school. Rather, gray rocking seems to have been created outside the realm of psychology.
Yeah.
To her best recollection, Dr. Dervasula had stumbled upon the terminology online more than a decade ago, she said. One of the earliest references appears on the website Love Fraud, which is run by Donna Anderson. Ms. Anderson said she created Love Fraud in 2005 to warn others about con artists and psychopaths after she said her then husband had stolen $250,000 and had numerous affairs. In 2012, one member of her online community who chose to remain anonymous wrote an essay titled The Gray Rock Method of Dealing with Psychopaths. If breaking contact is impossible, the essay advised, one escape strategy is to give dull, monotonous responses during a conversation. Psychopaths are addicted to drama and they can't stand to be bored, the writer continued. When should you try to gray rock? Lisa?
So this whole concept is based off of a person who would not identify themselves, and we don't know if they have any kind of degree in sociology, psychology.
Yeah,
or
but like for
mental health,
for anonymity, for maybe like safety.
You could anonymously say, I am a licensed practitioner.
I don't, you know what? I don't have that context, and I'm not going to pretend I do. That's not what they taught us at Harvard.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, at my not Harvard, they taught us to question.
At my Harvard. If you decide to do it, she said, ask yourself three questions.
One.
Are you doing it for the bit?
Two.
How much wrath are you willing to take when people realize you're doing it?
And three, did this person go to Harvard? And
Harvard.
They will see right through it.
And, you know, their mascot is the Harvardvark.
The Hardvark.
Please leave us a rating and a review if you're enjoying.
And if you're not, just skip it.
No, but also leave us a review. It's been a hot minute. We got to get back on those podcasts.
Yeah, we do.
Podcast charts.
What are the three questions you should ask yourself?
One, is it effective? Mm-hmm. Two, how long can I do this before it harms me? Mm-hmm. And three, am I working to solve the problem if I have to do this very often?
Mm.
In some cases, the person you're gray rocking might become aggravated that you aren't speaking to them as you normally would, leading to more tension, Dr. Dervasula said. I'm going to start calling her Dr. D, you guys. If you want to maintain this relationship, the VAR method, which stands for validate, assert, and reinforce, can potentially help establish boundaries and de-escalate the situation. Dr. Fielding offered these examples. Validate. I see that this is upsetting you. Assert. At the same time, this discussion is stressing me out a bit, so could we take a break and come back to it? Reinforce. If we can take a little break or if you could bring your voice down a bit, I will be able to hear you better. And that is the end of the article.
They just gray rock right off on the end of the cliff. They took a gray rock and threw it off the cliff at the end. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Somebody's editor said, get me something that's current on TikTok. And this writer said, okay, I just saw a thing on gray rocking. The problem is also that gray rocking vacillates between sounding sexual and also just like a style of dance around breakdancing.
Yes.
Body rocking and gray rocking.
I also have to say, I just open up the comments section.
Ooh,
very briefly.
Please tell me they're gray rocking and it's meta. This article was enjoyable. Thank you so much.
There was, if you have to treat yourself, dear listeners, go to Amazon and type in the banana slicer.
Or the pen for women. The Bic pen for women. And read the comments. It's incredible.
Or the Bic pen for women.
Mm-hmm. The comments. Oh.
But the reviews on the banana slicer are out of this world. I probably revisit it every 2 years just to give myself a boost.
Same with the Bic pen for women.
It's so easy to say. Bic pen for women.
Mm-hmm.
So this one... this comment section is wild. The link is in show notes. But this one commenter said just 4 days ago, I also employ decoys. Some people cannot be trusted with even the tiniest bit of information about you. When someone creeps back in from the past with a new number or sends a distant mutual to get in my business, I fabricate boring updates. I'm a bookkeeper now. I've gotten into making costume jewelry that I sell online. All false leads to keep them off my scent. Then I add them to my extensive block list.
I feel like I just got gray rocked by that comment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So
well,
anyway.
Misty, what a cool new concept that neither of us learned at Harvard. And, you know, if you listening out there are got your master's or perhaps even your did your doctorate thesis on gray rocking, we would love to hear from you
mm-hmm.
and tell us how it impacted your life for the better, for the worse, or just about the same.
That's right. This is one of those. It's like these pieces of advice. It's like they remind me of it's not quite Bruce Bryan's. But it's kind of in
I
the
was
vein.
The same thought, especially when you said the woman who ran the community. I was like, that sounds like a Bruce Bryan name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Love fraud. Maybe it's run by, I don't know, Bruce
Bryan. Bruce.
We should link to that episode in show notes as well. It's there are two Bruce Bryan's reviews. They are some of our favorite episodes of the podcast.
Oh, here's how it started. Misty had been doing difficult book after difficult book. I said, girl, give yourself a break and read something lighthearted.
Yeah.
And she chose Text So Good. He can't ignore you by Bruce Bryan's.
And it was like how to keep the man you want and trap the man you with.
It was so full of patriarchal bull that I ended up building to a full-on scream in the end of the episode because it was so ridiculous.
Well, also, if you may recall, we cannot find any...
Yeah.
Substantial information about Bruce Bryan's, and Bruce Bryan's clearly a pen name. You think it's Lydia from what's that show? What is it? Under His Eye.
Oh, Aunt Lydia.
Aunt Lydia. Wait, from
The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, thank you. God, that really.
Do you know I almost called that The Mermaid's Tale the other day?
That's right. That's right. Also, The Handmaid's Tale, ironically, created by a guy named Bruce. Bruce Miller.
Well, originally written by Fred Atwood.
That's right. But Bruce Miller.
I am older. I am going to check you there.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. That's correct. No, I mean the TV show was mm-hmm. when you write the pilot, you get a created by mm-hmm. credit. Anyway, Bruce is a lovely person.
We don't know. Don't know if they're real. Oh, that Bruce. I'm thinking Bruce Bryan.
No, Bruce Bryan's may just be like.
Not a real person. Not a name.
Yeah, or just like a woman cashing it in, you know?
Weaponized, internalized misogyny.
That's a form of pink rocking.
And pink rocking, Misty, is when no matter what question is asked of you, you talk about your period because they go away because
Lisa,
it's like,
that's red rocking.
Oh, thank you. Well, pink rocking then is PMS. PMS.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, hey, how's your business going? Oh, cramps.
Blue rocking is when you're just too depressed to answer.
Yeah, because you're blue.
And green rocking is where you just are so envious of everything they've said.
Yeah.
They get a little nervous.
Everyone, thank you.
Well, this was super helpful.
Riveting. We're going to end it there. Lisa, gray rock the outro.
I will.
Okay. And with that,
Life is abundant. Go Help Yourself was produced by Misty Stennett and Lisa Linke in Los Angeles, California, which is a city on a coast that nobody cares about. Music that you're listening to is created and performed by Sav. He's okay, I guess. And if you want to get in touch with us, just go to our website. It's
gohelpyourself.co. Etsy store.
It's all right. Goodbye.